Are you excited but nervous at the same time about investing in real estate? Are you confused about where to get started? Do you feel uncertain about your ability to invest in real estate because of finances, the market conditions, or not knowing enough? Hi, my name is Monica Sawyer, and I'm the host of the Real Estate Investing for Women podcast. I work with professional women on how to get started in real estate investing or grow their current portfolios. In this podcast, I will share my own strategies as well as those of many amazing experts so that you too can build wealth the blissful way. That means building wealth on your own terms, part-time, with very little stress. To get started, download your free report on my personal favorite strategy at blissfulinvestor.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Real Estate Investing for Women podcast, where we focus on all aspects of real estate investing, including strategies, mindset, emotional mastery, money smarts, and so much more to ensure your success. Today, I am really excited to introduce you to John Mathis. John is the CEO of Commercial Loan Success, a software and educational platform designed to help small business owners and property investors make more informed financing decisions. John is also the managing member of J. Healy Development. The company specializes in developing new projects into sustainable properties, which I absolutely love. I want to talk a little bit about that, John. John has been in the property development business for 26 years and has been involved in transactions for developing, permitting, and or financing of completed projects totaling over $50 million. Through J. Healy, John focuses on making multifamily, mixed-use, storage, and other commercial development properties more green and sustainable, lessening a property's footprint while increasing its value. Hi there, John. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. You know, isn't it terrible? As you get older, it's just a longer list of things for people to say about what you do.
Oh, I don't think that's terrible at all. I just feel bad that I mumble over it.
No, I just remember, you know, when you're in your 20s, this is what you do, you know, and now it's like the older you get, there's just a bigger list and you sit there and go, I have to live up to this list.
I know. It is actually a really impressive list. And one of the things that I have to say most attracted me to have you on this show is that you are interested in sustainability, because I'm doing a development program right now, or development property right now, and I can't get anybody to buy into the sustainable side of it because the costs are high. We've already had a lot of holding costs. So we'll talk a lot about this, but I really loved that piece of sort of what your focus is on that.
Terrific.
Yeah. Let's jump right in. Okay.
Sure.
So tell us a little bit about sort of private lending, commercial lending, and that sort of thing, and sort of your approach to that.
Sure. I mean, this is such a classic quandary. You know, when you and I just talked about development, now we segue into software. So, you know, when you talk about your elevator script and what you do and how to make it simple. So, you know, when I was just a real estate developer, that was easy. And now when you get into where you're into software, I think my wife has it best, and it's the funniest. She says, he's a real estate developer and a software developer, so he's out of my hair all day.
He works a lot of hours.
He's out of my hair.
Yeah.
So, but to your question, you know, when you're, and your audience will identify with this, when you're out there and you're doing any kind of a real estate acquisition, investing, or development, like what you just said you are, you know, one of the first things you have to get organized is how are you paying for it?
Right.
You know, and if you, and most of us aren't running around with a money tree out back. Mm-hmm. Although there's rumored to be one somewhere, right? But I just haven't seen it yet. So you end up where you're organizing things from your past retained earnings, if you've been in it a while, or you're organizing it from either private lenders or from commercial bankers in the process. Mm-hmm. And when you talk to any one of us out there, especially since the last recession, you say, well, let's talk about financing. I can guarantee in the audience, if the feeling is somewhere between nervous and absolute dread of the process, And that goes for all of us. I can sit inside of even the most confident developer counselor meetings where people are a lot bigger than I am as far as developers, who will sit there and not really know what's going to happen in the finance process and be concerned about it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really interesting. It feels like the least intuitive. And I not know that this is not true for everybody. But for me, I can look at a property. I can crunch the numbers on whether I think it's going to make money or not. I can do design. I can hire an engineer. I can talk to the city. I can do all of those things. But it feels like I have so little control over the money piece. And literally for me, that's the piece that I just have. And this is why I'm so excited about talking about this. I really kind of freaked out around that. And I used to be a lender. I used to be a lender. Sure. So I know if it's like that for me, what it must be for other people.
And exactly. And it's not just you and it's not just me. It is, you know, 95% or more, I would think, of anybody out there who is doing any kind of commercial financing today. And when you start looking at the studies that go on, the numbers are unbelievable, where you have your 27 small business administration will do studies. You have your 27, 28 million small businesses, 20 million of which use some form of commercial bank credit. And when you get into property development and investor space, the numbers are all over the place on all this is what's real. But there's somewhere between, let's say, 3 and 6 million of us running around who are either investing in or developing properties or who want to. And those are, so it's so hard to say, you know, what's real in that number, but there are large numbers of people. And the experience in the studies are when we go down to the financial institutions and we apply, we're getting somewhere between, you know, 80% to half of what we ask for. None of us are getting the full amount and none of us understand why. And when you talk to the lenders, well, the lenders will say, well, no, we're lending. And then we say, well, wait a minute, what are you lending? You know, we need to know.
Yeah.
And that just, you know, that just never was good enough for me. And I never really knew what to do about it. And I'll share with you a fun story of how I got involved in this software. So, you know, like you, I had a development project that I was trying to get funding for. And it was right after the last recession when everything started. And it just was not easy to do any kind of lending then. So I ended up hanging out for a few years on it, and I got back into it in around 2014. And I decided I'd go out there and try to, you know, honestly find somebody to do it now. And I was having no success. And my bank was kind of like, you know, we're getting taken over by another bank. Maybe you should move the loan out of the bank. And I'm like, this is fun. You know, I've got it. So I can't work here. I've got to find a new lender relationship. And I'm out there and I'm finding myself Googling for a resolution.
Could you even imagine?
And for me, I am not putting my social security number and financials into an upload link to try to get commercial financing. So like any good entrepreneur, what do? You network to a resolution, right? So I started calling people I knew and they referred me to this guy named Dan Crowley. And this guy named Dan Crowley is now my partner in commercial loan success, right? But at the time I didn't know him. And so I call him. And it's a funny story. His voicemail's full. And I'm like,
of course it is. Yeah.
This is great. You know, I really need to get this done. And he calls me right back. And he says, it was funny why his voicemail is full. His number is like one number off from like a government office that people call into all the time. Aww. So he says he fills up by 8 a.m. every day. So, but he ended up agreeing to meet me. And he says, look, bring your numbers on the project and I'll help you out. So we meet down at this diner, the two of us, and neither one of us at our age should be in a diner. It's just not where we should be eating. So he's sitting there, he's got a laptop. Right. And he opens the laptop and he says, all right, give me your numbers. So I give him the pro forma, the income and expense on the construction side. And he puts it all in. It takes him like 5 minutes. He's tapping away and he looks at me and he turns around his computer and he's got this great big word art thing that says go. And I said, go. I said, what do you mean go? And he's like, yes, I've put your numbers against my software's analytics, which compare commercial bank guidelines to your numbers. And it tells me whether you're a stop or a go to commercial loan application. And I'm looking at him. And I said, and now all these things are in my head. And I said, what do you mean your software? Because I'm like, I've never seen such software that does underwriting like this. And he says, Oh, no, I've written it. It's my code. I've used it in my private practice for over 25 years. I've vetted well over $1 billion worth of property and commercial finance transactions with it.
Wow.
And he goes, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to take your information. It generates a one sheet of paper. I'm going to send it to my banker contacts. And in a couple of days, I'll have you an LOI and you'll have a bank loan. You'll be on your way. And I looked at him and I said, okay. And that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
And I'm like, but I didn't know that was going to happen. So I'm looking at him and now the entrepreneur side of me is taking over and I'm moving away from my dire need to get financing to my, you know, quest for what's in his computer.
And, that sounds dangerous, actually.
And he's a brilliant man and he's just the most heart-centered entrepreneur you'll ever meet. So he'll give you anything, you know? So I'm looking at him and I'm like, well, I'd like to see if I can get that from my computer. And he goes, you can't. And I'm taking it wrong. I'm taking it as he's just telling me I can't have it. What he's trying to tell me is it's just in his computer. He doesn't have it where he can distribute it anyway, right? But I'm like, but I want it.
Let's figure out how to make that happen.
Yeah. And I said, you know, you realize the angst you've taken off of me here. And he goes, yeah, I get that all the time. People hug me with this. I'm like, I'm sure they do. And, you know, have you thought about some way to put this into space in the cloud where everybody who has the same angst that I do, because I know there's people everywhere at this time who are going through this, who would be able to solve problems by, you know, being empowered enough to know before they apply whether or not they're a stop or a go. And he says, yeah, I just have been so busy in my consultancy, I haven't gotten to it. And he goes, you know, that's really not something that I do. I'm not into that type of stuff. And I am. So I said, well, would you like me to help you? And he's like, yeah, that'd be great. Let's do it. So that's where it started. So And as you know, when you start something, so from that point in time, all those, you know, thousands of hours and of work and money and time that it takes to get something like this to where it's in the cloud, you know, all of a sudden, you know, by the beginning of this year, we got it done. And now we've launched it and it's out there for everybody to use. And the user and the customer feedback has been phenomenal for what people use it for. It's just great.
Oh, that's awesome.
The empowerment people are experiencing walking into a lender and saying, hey, I know I pre-qualify. Would you like to continue the conversation with me versus, you know, how did you do it? Like if you went to see a lender, what did you used to do?
You go over and you say, I'm looking for a loan for this property. Do you lend on that kind of project?
Yeah.
And you need, you know, and I'll bow to you and I'll send you every single piece of paperwork you need. Just give me the money.
That's it. And you know, no more. So now we change that. So now lenders are always in a trust but verify world. That's just their charter. They can't help that. So if we tell them there's $200,000 worth of income on a property, they're going to verify that. We can't misrepresent our numbers going in. But with lenders, what they tell us, some of the stuff we're getting back from the lenders regarding the software is the best testimonials where they say, you know, we're human. We live in your community. We're really not here to deny you. And we want to do business with you, but it seems like the biggest problem that they have is unrealistic borrower expectation of what can happen and an unprepared borrower who comes in and then they have to say no and they feel bad about that. Mm-hmm. So they look at the software and they go, this solves both of those things. How do we get in position as a lender to meet the people that are coming through using this? Because we want to meet these people.
Right.
They're business people. They've invested in themselves. They've vetted themselves and they're telling us that things work based on our numbers. They're as excited as anybody.
Yeah. You know, as having been a lender, I can really relate to what you're talking about because it was always a yucky feeling when I had to call for one more piece of paperwork that my underwriter asked for, right? No. And it happened all the time. And the borrower is like, really? Another piece of paper? You know, but they only have to do it once. Me as the broker, I had to ask for it from all of my customers. Yeah. You know, so it was like, these phone calls that I had to make, right? And then the worst phone call of all is I have to say no. I just couldn't find a lender that would do it for you.
Right.
So even from a lending perspective, if I had people that I could say yes to, at least that takes away that one yucky call. All those other calls for one more piece of paperwork may still happen, right?
Yeah.
But that yucky call, you can just eliminate. It's so much easier on the lender too.
Well, and it's, it's the tenor of the relationship, right? It's if you come in positive in the front end and you've provided the lender with metrics that they understand, and the software generates one sheet of paper, we call it a one sheet, and it's written by Dan in bank language. It's you would understand it as a lender. It's not written for me as an entrepreneur or as a property investor. It's written for the banker to consume in 1 minute or less, to decide if this is something that their bank can do. Now, it's not going to tell them about my history or my past or my financials. It's just talking about the property. Mm-hmm. But that's really what the lender is most interested in, is what, how much quality is in the numbers of the transaction. And so human nature, right? Once you get the lender, you know, you're the lender, you were one. Once I get you excited about my numbers, and then you have an aha moment where this is something you can do as a lender, you're going to help me.
Right. So yeah, because I want to say yes.
Yeah, John, I'm sorry. I need another piece of paper. I'm cool because we started out on the right foot. We started out together with you saying to me, yeah, I saw your numbers and they're good. And I can always reference back to that one sheet of paper in the beginning versus the old way. Like you said, I'd come see you and I'd have a nice booklet or a PowerPoint, or I'd have some kind of digital presentation.
That's right.
And it would be my executive summary and all my numbers. And I'd send it to you. And what would happen? You're busy. What would happen?
It would get pushed into my to-do list for tonight after I get all of this paperwork done and I'm done talking to my underwriters and my processors have gone home.
Right. So I wait, right? I'm the property investor. I wait, and you're the lender feeling bad you're not getting to me. Now, if I hand you just one sheet of paper and say, hey, is this something that you'd like to continue the conversation with me on? You look at it and you go, whoa, yes, I would. Tomorrow at 2 is good.
That's right. That's exactly
right. And now we're doing real business together versus this, like you said, bow at the door of the bank walking in. No, we need to walk in empowered as business people.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I just love that. So I'm definitely going to take a look at this. This is amazing.
Awesome.
So could you tell us a little bit about actually building a relationship with a commercial bank and how this software can help you to do that?
Sure. So one of the things when you're in real estate as a developer, and as you know, when you're doing any kind of property, you start out small. I mean, we all start out with those small initial transactions. And then as you level up, you start to realize that you need to get into credible financing space. You need to have a reliable, predictable relationship with a lender. And one of the things that you always need to begin that process is some kind of icebreaker, some kind of conversation starter to be able to make you come across to the lender as most professional as you can.
Right.
So all of us, like I said before, would sit running around trying to create these wonderful business plan, executive summaries, you name it. Whereas now, if I can electronically deliver to you a one sheet, because I took the time to prepare it myself, I input my numbers, it takes me 5 minutes, it generates a report, I download, print, and share with you as the lender, either digitally or in person. The lender looks at me and says, I'll give you a classic story. There's a young investor just sent us his testimonial, and he's buying a 3-family. And he goes out and he uses the software and it vets his transaction and it tells him it's a go. So he walks into the bank and he walks into one of these bank offices where the commercial lending team is upstairs and the tellers in the offices are downstairs. So he walks in, he's sitting with a vice president and he's got his one sheet and he hands it to him and he does exactly what we tell him to do. He says, would you like to continue the conversation with me? And the vice president looks at it and says, where did you get this? And he says, well, it's software that I bought online and I used it to vet my deal according to it. I'm supposed to be able to speak your language by using it. And so I'm here. And the vice president looks at it and says, could you just give me a moment? I'll be right back. So the kid's like nervous. He's sitting in the office and the guy leaves, comes back with the senior vice president in charge of lending.
Yes.
The guy sits down and looks at the thing and says to the kid, you're just like the most prepared borrower we've seen. And the kid's like, nah, I feel good. I'm like that person in that credit score commercial, you know, where my credit score is 800. I know it. My feet are on the desk now. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, no, don't do that to a senior VP.
No.
Don't put your feet on the desk. You know, don't overplay it. But yeah, so he's empowered.
Right.
And he's sitting there. He's like, I feel pretty good. I'm going to get my loan. And you know what? They did his loan.
Right.
Now, this is a young investor, and all he did is walk in with one piece of paper to start the conversation.
Yeah.
So, like you said, how do you build that relationship? Let's start there.
Right.
You know,
and I will say, like, as you were telling that story and me being the person on the desk getting that piece of paper, I could feel literally like my shoulders dropped. I was like taking a deep breath. Oh, somebody got it all together. There's not going to be every single phone call is going to be a good phone call because they understand the business. Right. So just so good. I can literally feel it physically happening.
Another thing you'll like about the software is if your numbers don't work, it tells you why. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're all business people, so we have to be problem solvers to be in business. And we can't forgive that investing in property and commercial real estate can be a very difficult business. It just is. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that are part of the skill set. The financing part is one of them. So as we learn to construct packages and to communicate with people, you know, in the right way, our level of success, our predictability of success will go up.
Right. So tell me a little bit about how, let's talk a little bit more about how the small real estate investor can get the money to grow. Let's talk about that piece.
Yeah. You know, it's indicative of the market today is whenever you have a decent market, and we all do, you know, across the country, our real estate market's doing good. The level of competition goes up for the number of people who are looking for transactions. And so as the novice real estate investor begins the process of trying to get into the game and do it at the level that we do, you and I both know they can do it. And you look back on where we started and how you do it, and you say, it's really not impossible to get to where we are. There are some things you have to do right. And one of the things that I say to any of the young entrepreneurs that will approach me is, you need to get the money side of your equation solved first. So if you have a good transaction, you need to know it. So that's another part. I keep going back to it. But with the software, it lets me vet the transaction to determine if it's financeable. So I can go to any multiple listing data source, LoopNet, anywhere and look at a transaction, or a realtor can hand me something and I can determine how the bank is going to behave, which lets me decide what my asking price is. Now, if I have that in order first, well, what is it that I need? If I need property management, then I can go solve that. If somebody needs to walk into you or me and say, hey, I need some help, I'm new, I need somebody to work with me who's experienced. What better way to feed me than to give me metrics on a transaction so I look at you and say, all right, at least you thought about it. You didn't just come in here and ask me to do a deal with you. Mm-hmm. You came in and said, hey, these are the numbers that are here. Can you help me? And if I can't do it, I can certainly tell you somewhere that you can go to get help. Because, you know, developers like you and I in our community, it's not like we're hiding. We're easy to find. Mm-hmm. You know, and the people who are starting out.
We've got our
out,
signs on the properties, actually.
And our numbers are right there, right? We're easy to find. But how many people will you not talk to? Because you want the ice broken for you the same way. You want to be professionally approached, and you want to know that you can work with it. What a great way to, you know, say, hey, I've got a transaction I need help with.
Well, and it also makes you look, when you're referring to other colleagues, you don't want to bring them, I mean, and I have done this, so I'm not saying you don't want to. I mean, you can bring them a beginner. It just, everybody understands it's going to be a larger time commitment. And right. So people that are very busy may pull back. But if you've got someone that looks like they know what they're doing, they've got, you know, they look more professional, they're interested in putting something together for you that's going to save your time, you know that they're going to do that for the people you refer them to also. And it feels more comfortable than to make the referral.
And you know, the other thing you can do, we all did. I mean, I think my first transaction was a building lot for $30,000.
Wow.
And I had a family member help me buy it. You know, and then we went and I went down to a local community bank and I was able to get financing to put a house on it. I think back about it now, you know, that was in the early 90s. So
wow. Yeah.
It was just, you know, how long ago was that? And then we sold it. And then I took the money out and I bought two more lots. Mm-hmm. And then what happens with the bankers, and people will realize this as they go, you know this, when you take commercial bank capital, and you're building a relationship at a commercial or regional or a community or regional bank level, and you pay them back, mm-hmm. and then you do it again, now you start to bring in bigger transactions, the relationship is on good footing.
Right.
So you have to start, you take their money, you pay them back. You pay them back. And pretty soon, your little $200,000 transaction, like I did, the credit line was over $1 million. And then it was $5 million. And then it's like, you can do whatever you want now.
Well, and this is a really, really good point, John. So I want to highlight this. Do not jump around from bank to bank to bank unless there's a bank that does something that's really horrific, or you know, or you end up at closing and they can't lend. You know, if there's horrible things that do happen and good reasons to leave your lender. However, don't just jump around for the best rate. Don't shop every single time you need a new loan. If you're using a broker, make sure you keep that relationship with your broker. You know, there have been years where I lived in France for a year and a half. I wasn't doing any deals in that time. But you know, when I used to fly back to the United States once every 3 months, I would take him out to lunch because I wanted to make sure he still remembered who I was and we still had a relationship, right? Smart. So those, your lender, and if you think people don't get this, the rate is not the most important thing. The points, the most important thing for your business is the relationship.
Right.
You know?
Right. And when you get to a point where you can just zip your lender a one sheet at 1 o'clock, and by 1:30, your lender says, yeah, I'm good with that. And by 3 o'clock, you can take the application. That's how you, the expedience of business, the pace it goes at, as a young investor or as a novice investor, that's how you can get to be intermediate and an expert in a hurry. Mm-hmm. Because when you're competing with the people like you and I that are out there in the space, you have to be able to move fast. Right. And the faster you can move, all of a sudden a property seller is now off the market before the rest of us got to look at it. Why? Because you move quickly.
That's right. And
you need a responsive bank relationship that you can build. But like you said, I mean, pick a decent community or regional bank, start there and do one and then do another. This doesn't take that much time. You can be in 2 years, you can be up to a 7-digit relationship with them where you just started at baseline level.
Right.
But you have to take it, pay it back, demonstrate that you're capable and responsible with what they're doing. They love you as a customer.
Right. Right. It makes such a big difference. You know, and I want to backtrack just a little bit, rewind, where we were talking about the software and empowerment and getting your finances in a row, all set up even before you get out there starting to make offers, right? Yep. And what you didn't say, and I would like to really highlight to my audience, is I've talked about this when we're doing regular mortgages. You go to your finance person first. You understand what you're pre-qualified for before you start looking at houses, because you don't want to be looking at $1 million house if all you can afford is $500,000, because that causes lots of tears and angst and it's a big waste of time, right?
Yep.
But in commercial, it's going to be the same thing. So a couple of times, John said, let's look at this project. Can I do it? But is it possible, John, to put in a fake project to find out sort of what your numbers would look like? Is that something you would do also? So for instance, I've done it. I know that with most commercial projects, they look at the project, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about like what size projects a new person should look like and look at and how to determine that.
Sure. So yeah, one of the things that I love about the software is the sanity check feature. You and I can sit here right now and vet anything we want. We can make up a set of numbers on a transaction that we think would be good for us. Mm-hmm. And we can put that in. And as I kind of drifted off before, because we were talking about fun other stuff, if it's a stop condition, the software tells me why. Mm-hmm. So it tells me if I'm trying to borrow too much money or if I need more down payment or what it is. And a lot of the governing factors for people when they start out tend to be the down payment.
Yes.
It's hard to avoid, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there, but the reality is incredible commercial lending. It's not even the bank all the time. It's the regulations.
Right.
You do have to have some money down on the property to mitigate the risk of changing conditions for the lender. So you end up in the software, we have a preset for 25% down. Mm-hmm. Now you can get better than that in the market, as you and I know, and you can change it within the software. All of our presets can be changed. But if you start there and you say, okay, I've got $100,000, let's say. So I can do a $400,000 project. So that's what you're going to look for. And then you're going to vet the numbers to make sure the bank will give you the 300 within the software, and all those underwriting requirements are in there. And when you start to break down what that actually means, just to get geeky for a second, in commercial space for all of us, commercial banks will look at three things in a hurry on a property. It's net NOI, so what's our net operating income? What's the capitalized rate value, or what's the appraised value? And what's the debt service coverage ratio? Mm-hmm. And that coverage ratio comes with several things that are called carve-outs that the bank wants to have in there for expenses, such as management reserves, et cetera. So all that's in the software. It's already done for you.
Okay.
And then you can get a real world analysis, and you can use it for all sorts of different things. But, you know, I like to call it, it's like, you know, it's a fish finder. So the fish finder, when you buy a fish finder and you're a fisherman, it'll tell you where the fish is, but it'll also tell you water temperature and depth and all that stuff. But that's not really what you want it for. You know, you want it for the fish finder. So it's the same thing with the software. Is the mortgage financeable is what I care about. So yeah, let's sanity check that. Now, the other thing I can do is, let's say I have to go to Aunt Mabel for money, mm-hmm. right? Because I don't have the $100,000, but she's told me she'd help me, or I have friends who've said they'll invest. Well, I need to show them how they fit in. So I can use the software to do that. I can say, here's where the bank fits in at 300. Here's how you fit in at 100. And here's how I can pay you. Here's the rate I can give you. Or I'm going to have to accrue you on an amortized term. I'm going to have to figure out how to do this with you. But here's how the numbers will work. And now you're handing that to the private lender too. Mm-hmm. And then you just tell the bank that. You just say, I have a private lender, and here's how I'm servicing them, and I have you as the banker, and here's how I can afford to pay you on this transaction. And it's how you can now professionally speak to them. And some lenders will say, no, it needs to be your money. Mm-hmm. But there's other ones out there that won't. That'll say, as long as the deal is mitigated with a legitimate down payment, we're good. We just need to know where it's from. Mm-hmm. Now, we're entrepreneurs. Sometimes we have to go to more than one door.
That's right. That's right. And I know from experience also, like when asking for private money, if you've got something scribbled down on a piece of paper, you're more likely to get it. If you have it on a spreadsheet, you're a little more likely to get a yes. But I can see with something as professional as this, the yeses would come in much more easily.
It's and it permeates into business space too. We've got people who are parents who use it to, when their children come to them and say, I need money for my business. I want to start a business. Mm-hmm. No problem. Make the screener turn green. We have a business loan screener just for business loans. Make that turn green, and then I'll consider giving you the money.
Right. So instead of saying, no, I don't trust you.
Right.
Say, show me the numbers.
One
yeah.
One thing of it is, I mean, how many of us with children would love if our kids actually walked in with a software and said, hey, this works.
Right.
And, you know, now I'll ask you how you're going to manage the thing, but at least you've handled the financing part of them, which is a big part of all of this.
Well, and it shows a lot of foresight. It shows business acumen. It shows foresight and a level of wisdom that also builds confidence.
It's like one lender said to me, the lender looked at me and said, who wouldn't want to know that they pre-qualify before they apply?
Right.
Why leave it to us to tell them?
Right.
Right. And so you can DIY this.
Yeah. I love
it. That's fun. Yeah. And then you save time and money. You're not talking to anybody that you don't already know the answer.
Right. Right. Awesome. Hey, could we don't have a huge amount of time, but I just want to talk a little bit about the sustainability piece.
Oh yeah. Love it.
If you don't mind, I know it's a little bit off topic, but I love this topic. So tell me a little bit about how you're structuring that. Like, what does that look like for you?
So for us, it starts at the land side. So we're really, we're a development company that when you're in the Northeast for a lot of what we do, you have to become an expert in permitting in a hurry. Mm-hmm. And so one of the ways that you know, as you get a what we'll call a raw piece of land, you can start to determine right from the ground up what you can do to manage the resources, to lessen the impacts, to make it so that the environment of the development is less impactful on not just the overall ecosystem of what's there, but also more healthy for the occupants. So we spend a lot of time at the planning phase deciding where our solar fits in, where our pervious and impervious surfaces fit in, how we're going to handle stormwater management, how we're going to handle you name it on the property, you know, electric, all the way, any of our utilities. How can we manage all of that to have less impacts? And it's so much easier to do when it's just a blank slate.
So you do that even before, like you've decided the pieces that you want to put in there even before you go to the architect or start doing any design. So
yeah,
you go to your architect and you say, we're going to have solar panels. We're going to be doing these different things.
Right.
Fit them in. It needs to go right into the design.
Fit them in because, and here's what happens. The byproduct of responsible development that way is, and like you said in the front end, the cost is, there's a lot of cost that'll go with it. But you can find that if you have property A that you're developing without any of that, and you have property B, the actual value of property B with the sustainable elements plus the cost will far exceed property A when you actually decide to go to market with it. Because the education platform that's been in place for the last 10 years or so has finally gotten to where people who want to live in nice sustainable developments understand that it costs a little more than ones that aren't.
Right.
And so they're willing to pay a little bit more through, not a lot, but they'll pay enough where you can cover the costs of it. And, you know, as a developer, you're just being so much more responsible with what you do than just taking a piece of land, carving in a road, throwing the water over the side and saying, let's, you know, people live here.
Sell this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where exactly are you located?
So I'm in Connecticut.
Okay. But
we cover the Northeast. So we're, got it. We're right in the center of everything.
And the only reason that I ask that is that I'm in California. So for me to say I'm interested in sustainable development, everybody's like, yeah, you're California, right? So I just wanted people to hear that this is happening everywhere.
It is.
And it's important everywhere.
And you know what's funny, though, is a lot of it starts where you guys are.
Yeah.
I mean, California is always ahead of the curve on a lot of things that happen that finally migrate Northeast.
Right.
And we take a lot of the stuff that has come out of California and we employ it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good. Oh, yeah. God, I love that conversation. Thank you. Thank you for that little tangent. Sure. So we're running out of time. You know, these interviews, I have to say, I would love to go for so much longer, but I know I can't. So
That's great.
So before we head into the rapid fire questions, John, could you tell us how my listeners can get in touch with you?
Sure. So we're at commercialloansuccess.com. That's where our main website is. And then you can reach us. What we've put together for your listeners today, anyone who will sit through me has to get some kind of incentive for it. We've put together a free giveaway. We have a new book coming out called Commercial Loan Success, How to Lend or Finance Your Property or Business. And in it is chapter 2, which is a very intensive chapter for all the things we think you should do before you ever speak to a lender. And it gives you a link to the software where they can get it a nice discount for being on listening to us today. That is at web.commercialloansuccess.com/bliss for the show.
Nice. I love that. And then you also mentioned that they can get a link to the free demo software.
Yeah. So it's right in there. So they can see the software and they can see a demo of it and decide if it's for them. And like anybody who's out there with any kind of digital product, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee on their form. So if they get in there and it's not for them and for any reason they didn't find it's not workable for them, we just give them their money back, no questions asked.
Nice. So it's a free demo to check it out.
Yep.
On the link, John didn't mention this now, but he mentioned it earlier, that you get a discounted rate for being from my audience. So you're going to get a discount on the software if you do decide to invest in it. And then he's got a 30-day money back guarantee. That's actually really generous. Thank you for that, John.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready for our 3 rapid fire questions?
I love it.
Okay. So John, tell us one super tip on getting started investing in real estate.
So you've heard it today. You get your money arranged. You know, it's where we all start. It's where we all sit there and it's doable. Just get the money part of what you want to buy in order. Use the modern day tools that are out there. Go to lunch with the banker, like you said, you know, and have conversations. And this can be done. It's not that hard once you realize that you can break it up into chunks and the bank is a big boogeyman.
Yeah. Yep. They're not boogeymen.
No,
they just seem
not.
Like it sometimes and it breaks it's their heart too.
I call them a metaphor. Yeah, no, they really aren't. They're actually really, when you get to know them, most of them are wonderful people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so tell us one strategy on being successful investing in real estate.
For me, it's keep moving. I mean, I've been through three recessions now, hence the gray to prove it, right? Mm-hmm. And through each one, our balance sheet just grows and you just keep moving. Just mm-hmm. never get stopped by your failures. You're going to learn from them, mm-hmm. you know, and you're going to have failures in real estate. And they're, you know, it's funny, of all the success that, you know, people like you or I will have, we always remember the ones we didn't.
That's right.
It's a learning experience and you learn from them. So you just... You, when you have a philosophy of what it is you want to do, keep moving. Don't let any of it get you down. There'll be days where you don't succeed. It's part of the game.
Right. Mm. Perfect. And could you tell us one daily practice that you do, John, that you would say contributes to your personal success?
I compartmentalize my phone calls and emails in the chunks of my day. So when you're a developer and you're a property investor, there is a creative side to you. You have to be able to envision what's the exit of this property. And you have to have time to think. You can't be on the phone or answering emails all day. So I'll sit there and I'll dedicate big 4-hour chunks of my day to creativity. Mm-hmm. And I'll turn everything off. And then I'll get back to everybody when I'm done. And if you don't dedicate that time for yourself, your business and your personal development will just not be where you want it to be.
Nice. I love that. This conversation has been so robust with great information and topics I've been dying to talk about. Thank you so much, John. I've loved this.
I've had a great time. Thank you.
Sure. And listeners, thank you so much for joining John and I today. I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast. And until then, remember, goals without action are just dreams. So get out there, take action, and create the life your heart most deeply desires. See you next time. Bye. Thank you again for joining me on the Real Estate Investing for Women podcast. If you love this show, please subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. As women, we need to support and empower each other to build wealth and live joyful lives. Your support of this podcast by subscribing, rating, and reviewing it will help other women just like you learn about building blissful wealth through investing. And remember to download your free report so you can get started on your investing journey at blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.